statutes continually. Such is our case. In the midst of need and peril, that our only refuge lies in God. Verse 116, the psalmist had said, "Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope." And he repeats himself here in a slightly different way of saying it, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." What an encouragement it is to be held up by God and to be sustained by Him. When we have that encouragement, and it doesn't matter how strong the trial is, that we have a determination then to have respect unto the Word of God continually. You know that one of the things that comes out of handling trial in a proper way is a greater love for the words of God, for the law of God, for the commandments of God. When we pass through deep waters, when we pass through trial, and God brings us out of that, we have a renewed desire to serve the Lord, a renewed desire to be obedient unto Him. Because oftentimes what God does in the midst of those deep times and those deep waters is to remind us once again how weak we are and how sinful we are. And our sins and our failings come to our mind. And that is a good thing to see. It is a good thing to know that. Because if we didn't know that, we would become proud. And if we ignore those things and we fail to acknowledge them, then we are proud. And pride goeth before a fall. Pride is a mark of unbelief. Pride is a great evil in our souls. And it is one in which we are all prone to. Every single one of us are prone to pride. Pride about this, pride about that. Whatever it may be, we are proud. So, God in His mercy and in His love brings trials upon us, just as He did to the psalmist here. And as we've looked at this section, starting at verse 113 of Psalm 119, we can see the trials that the Lord has brought into His life. The vain thoughts. The evildoers in verse 115. These were trials to the psalmist. These things bothered him. And yet, in the midst of this trial, he handles it properly. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't run away from it. He doesn't give in to despair. He calls upon God. And he calls upon God to uphold him, to hold him up. He calls God his hiding place and his shield. He says, "I hope in thy word." He determines in himself. He grits his teeth and says, "I will keep the commandments of my God." Verse 116, he says, "Let me not be ashamed of my hope." 117, "I will have respect unto thy statutes." Not tomorrow, not only when I have trouble, but continually. And such is his sense of need that he repeats himself. In fact, in Romans 12, in verse 12, there is a great verse here. And you probably know this from heart, by heart. Romans 12 and verse 12. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." And the order of those three things is important. It's not a random, coincidental order. God ordered it in that particular way. To rejoice in hope. Hope when there's nothing else to hope in. Hope in the darkness of trial. brings patience. Patience in the midst of tribulation. You know, one of the worst things about trial is the agitation it brings to our minds and hearts. It's the agitation of mind that is a great disturbance in our souls. That our minds cannot focus. They cannot be at peace. And then continuing instant in prayer. Prayer is not something that we only do on Sunday in church. It's not something that you only do when you gather with your family in family worship. Prayer is something that we have the privilege at any time, anywhere, whatever we're doing, to pray unto God. And the blessing that is, isn't it? So turn back to Psalm 119. The psalmist repeats himself here, "Hold thou me up and I shall be safe." He repeats himself because of his consciousness of weakness. His consciousness of the danger of the slippery path that was before him. Trials are dangerous. Trials have slippery rocks in them that give us false sense of security. And we may find ourselves standing upon one but slipping. And it really, our safety at every moment really depends upon God Himself, upon the faithful upholding God. Because the ways of temptation are manifold and subtle, and they're in our hearts. Who can know the heart? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Only God. You do not know your own heart. I do not know my own heart. The motivations that I may have, the things in which I may think, well, I know my heart and I know what I want and I know that I'm right. Do not be deceived by your deceitful heart. Do not be deceived in the pride. Because the entrance into evil and into sin is not perceptible. The entrance is deceitful. The entrance is subtle. Because of my own weakness and my own unwatchfulness. Yes. Yes. I am unwatchful over my soul. I do not watch as I should. And that is why we have the need to say, "Hold thou me up." Psalm 94, verse 18. When I said, "My foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." Not my strength, not my ability to handle my affairs with such wisdom, not my personality, not my contacts in the business world, not my grit and determination to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, but it is the Lord and His mercy that held me up. So how beautiful is this? Turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 8. There's a beautiful picture here. There's a beautiful picture here, this picture of love, the bride and the bridegroom. And then the Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Look at the words, leaning upon her beloved. Here is the bride being carried by the bridegroom and being held up by him. It is a picture of Christ and his church. The church leaning upon the beloved, upon Christ himself. What a beautiful picture that is. You know, there's nothing like the beauty of Christian marriage. The beauty of the mutual dependence and the mutual faithfulness and the mutual love one to another wrought by Christ, because it is God's will that these two be married and joined together in one flesh. That is why it is such a sin and such an aggravated sin for a professing Christian to marry an unsaved person. The horror of that, the absolute horror of that sin, is terrible. And no good ever comes of that. That is not God's way. That will not bring God's blessing. It will bring God's chastisement, perhaps for a lifetime, because of that sin. It's ugly. It brings into the world an ugly marriage. Not a beautiful marriage. Not one that we have similar to what's described here in the Song of Solomon. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? See, the state of dependence, and it is a state of dependence, was familiar to the psalmist in verse 117. He says, hold thou me up. I'm leaning upon you. I can't stand. I need you to hold me up and to carry me. I'm tired. I am weak. It's beyond my ability to continue. Just as a father, when his children grow tired and weak, will carry them. And will carry them even though he is tired himself. Even though it is difficult for him, he will carry them and ease their burden because he loves them. And how that carrying ties the heart of the child to the father. How that kindness and mercy ties the heartstrings of the child to the father. What a beautiful picture that is. Psalm 63, verse 8. So we find this picture quite a bit in the Psalms. This picture of leaning upon our Savior. My soul followed hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Look at how he describes his soul. He describes it as following hard after his beloved, after his God, after his Savior. Think of, for example, years ago, the Pony Express riders riding across the continent, riding hard day and night, riding those horses into the ground until the horse could go no further than to jump off and onto another horse, riding hard. That's a picture of following hard after God. And that it can only be done with his right hand upholding us. And then in Psalm 71, Psalm 71 and verse 6. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. So when the psalmist considers his origin and his coming into this world as being an act of God, and God delivering him safely into this world, and of being held up from the time of being in his mother's womb, from the time of conception, which is when life starts, the time of conception, that child, that soul living inside the mother, has been upheld by God. And as he contemplates that, it causes him to praise God continually. May we contemplate that this morning. May we contemplate God holding us up, and may we call like the psalmist does in verse 117 of Psalm 119, "Hold thou me up." Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be held up by you. What a blessing it is to be kept by you, to be sustained by you, by the hand of your power, by the beauty of your love, and by the mercy of your grace upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.